Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. We're back with you, and inshallah, I had a drop call. And, hopefully the switchboard will be opening up very shortly, and we can get this program started here. Again, apologize. Traveling today live at my location just a little late in order to be totally set up for you. Again, visit look in the Muslim Journal, and you can find many of the events I'm talking about. The Kansas City Head West Imam meeting will be taking place very soon. You can get more information. Go to the Muslim Journal, inshallah. You can get more information there on that event. Okay, wait a minute. We'll hopefully have this thing solved and moving on. So, anyway, so with those things said and done, inshallah, we hope that you're having a blessed evening and being patient with us here on America Muslim 360. We'll have the Jedi Water for Deen Muhammad up, hopefully momentarily, and give you the opportunity to listen to that talk in its entirety here on America Muslim 360. Just slow moving here. I'm running out of things here to say today. But anyway, we're at tomorrow morning. Clearly, we have Masjid Administration, the Loud Spouse, No Excuse Radio, and inshallah, tomorrow morning, join us there. Juma is out of Sacramento, California. And so. But anyway, Juma is tomorrow at 1:30 Sacramento, California time, here on the American Muslim 360, and we will have Imam Luqman Hamid, Akhmed, will be delivering the khutbah tomorrow here from Sacramento. Inshallah, I don't know the topic of the khutbah, but it will be at 1:30 California time tomorrow, the Juma. At 1:30 tomorrow morning here on America Muslim Street. So, inshallah, let's see. So join us tomorrow for Juma here on American Muslim 360, and inshallah, you will enjoy the Juma. We bring you more Juma from different locations, different masjid, different kitab, different speakers, every Friday than anybody on the internet or radio, television, you name it, in the media. We bring you more. Okay. I think we're about ready to get the switchboard open. Open just a moment, it'll be open. And we can move to the audio file of the Jedid Water for Deen Muhammad. And again, appreciate your patience. Always turn out the way you like for them to turn out. Inshallah, we are here. Here and just hold on, and we'll be right back. I'm going to a little bit of difficulty here.
A'udhu billahi min shaitanir rajim. I seek refuge with Allah from Satan, the rejected enemy.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful.
Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
Praise be to Allah, the cherished sustainer of the worlds.
Ar-Rahmanir Rahim.
Most gracious, most merciful.
Maliki yawmiddin.
Master of the Day of Judgment.
Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in.
You do we worship, and your aid do we seek.
Ihdina as-sirata al-mustaqim.
Show us the straight way.
Sirata al-lazina an'amta.
The way of those whom you have bestowed with your grace.
Alayhim. Ghayri al-maghdubi alayhim. Wala al-dallin.
Those whose portion is not wrath, and those who go not astray. Ameen.
Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal. Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal. Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal.
Assalamu alaikum. This is American Muslim 360 radio broadcast.
Of us is to witness one God, that there's one cause behind all of this, the originator of the heavens and the earth. And we used to say that too, didn't we, in the temple? We used to stand up like this, and we say, surely I've turned myself to thee, O Allah, who originated the heavens and the earth. Isn't that what we said? We didn't say to Farad, who came into person, or God who came into person of W.E. Farad. We didn't say that. We said to Allah, who originated the heavens and the earth. So actually, while we were given darkness, we were also given light. And thank God, he brought us to see the light and reject the darkness. Yes. So the first is Shahada, to witness that there is one God, that there is one God. Tell me, with what do you witness a thing? With your five senses, don't you? You witness something with your five senses. You witness it with your touch, your feeling. You witness it with your eyes. You witness it with your nose, your taste. You witness it with your smell, your taste. You witness it with your hearing, your eyes, your sight. Huh? This is how you witness something. When the judge says, and you sit on the witness stand, and the judge asks you a question, he don't want to tell you about, he don't want you to tell him about what you saw in a dream. He doesn't want you to tell him about what your psyche picked up. He want to know what your five senses can testify to. Did you hear it? Did you see it? That's what he wants to know. All right. So the main the senses, the main ones of the five that we need more than we need any of the others is seeing and hearing. That's why the Quran and scripture mention so much seeing and hearing, deaf, blind. The hearing, the seeing, the deaf, the blind. So the first sense is to witness that there is a God. But how did man, what sense that man had that made him believe that there was a God? His feeling. Life starts with feeling. His feeling was the first sense that made him believe that he was not the all in all, that there is a God. He felt God. That's number one, Shahada. Okay? Number two is Salat, isn't it? After you feel God, then you want to pray to that God, don't you? You feel God and you want to have communication with that God. And what is that communication? You want to see. You want to see your God. When you feel God, next you want to see God. So, feeling, seeing, right? Okay, then what is the next one? The next one is charity, right? Okay. Which of those senses can we compare with charity? Feeling, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting. I would say all of them. But if I had to select one of them, I would say after feeling, and seeing, tasting, what in your mouth? Tasting is to know if it's good, to know if it's good or bad, if it's acceptable in the body or harmful. You feel God, You want to see God. You can't see him. So now you want to know what I'm trying to get at. Is it good or bad? You want to taste it. Is it good? Is it acceptable for me to take into my body for the good health of my body? Tasting. And it says, everyone shall have a taste of death. Now you think that's talking about your physical body. It's not. Everyone shall have a taste of death. This should be connected with the saying in the Quran, and no one will die until they see him. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Not see him until they acknowledge him. No one will die until they acknowledge who? Jesus Christ. No one of who? No one of them who claim that they are his followers. They will not die until they acknowledge him. How are they to acknowledge him? By putting him in their mouths, tasting him, seeing if your Jesus tastes good in the mouth. Don't just feel him, not taste him. Does he taste good? Is he good for your body? Is he good for your life? No, your Jesus is still dead. He's carrion. He's dead flesh. In your mind, you don't understand what he said. He's bread. He's wine. But in your mind, he's also dead, a dead body. Taste that dead body. That tastes good? Bread tastes good, yes. But a dead body, that tastes good? No. You don't want that in your mouth. You don't want to put a dead flesh in your mouth. So you have to see him correctly. And straining to see him, you should taste the bread of knowledge. Taste the blood of knowledge. Wouldn't you rather have wine than blood in your mouth? Wouldn't you rather have bread than flesh, than dead flesh in your mouth? So you should reject that idea and see the bread as doctrine and see the blood as the spirit of the New Testament. How did Jesus Christ, yeah, we're on the subject, don't think of that. How did Jesus Christ, I have to go back and get my dead brother out of the road and take him where some breath, the breath of life can be put into him. I can't keep going in the road, and I know I left some dead brothers and sisters back there. That wouldn't be nice. It wouldn't be a brother. How does the Bible say Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ took his followers up to see him. Do you know that's in the Bible, in the New Testament? He took them up on the mountain to see him. And when he took them up there, they saw the, what they call it, transfiguration. They saw, and what is it that transfiguration? They saw the light of Elijah. And they saw the light of Moses. And they saw the light of Jesus Christ. Now tell me, I preached this when I was before I became the man. Because I saw this in the Bible. And I said, well, look, this is the plain language telling his followers how to see him. You're not supposed to see him in physical human image in a body. You're supposed to see him in an enlightenment, a knowledge that gives light, an enlightenment. That's how you're to see Jesus Christ. And that's how you're to see Moses, obviously, because that's what he brought together, transfiguration. And also Elijah. Now let's quickly look at these prophets, Elijah. People thought he was Elijah. They said to Jesus Christ, according to the New Testament, are you that prophet? And the Bible says, meaning Elijah. Okay? So they actually thought he was that prophet, didn't they? But he showed them the three, Elijah himself and Moses. And so that meant that he was not Elijah. Because he made distinction between, in what he showed them, himself and Elijah. And distinction between himself God and Moses. But at the same time, he was them. Not them, but also in another focus of perception, he was them. Because what Elijah was in his life was one who challenged the false doctors, didn't he? And he brought healing and life, miracles, healing and life. So Jesus was that. But not that prophet. Moses. Moses said, told his people, build a cross and put a serpent on it, in the top of the cross, spread like the medicine that people do. Put a serpent up there, but the serpent is on the horizontal, out there, at that location in the cross that Moses told them to build. A brazen serpent. Servant of brass. Now, you who have gone through high school, you took high school, or had at least college English. I've had college English 101 and started college English 201, I think. 102. And if you have gone that far, then you should understand brazen. Your vocabulary should be that big. Brazen means shameless. Brazen means brass and brazen. Brazen means a brass. Brazen and brass also mean shameless. And why they use that metal to say shameless? I'm a welder. I'm a combination welder. So I braze. I take a wire made of metal, and I take a torch, gas welding torch, and I put it on my wire, and I heat the base metal, and I weld the wire into the welding, mending, putting back, restoring the form, whatever. So I know what happens to brass. If you make the temperature too hot and keep it on brass, it destroys all the quality of the brass. So the brass mentioned people who have lost that quality of their rational minds. Their intelligence. It speaks of them as tinkling brass. And when you hit it, dead sound. That's what it means. I know how it sounds. You hit it, it's a dead sound. If you burn the quality out, it's a dead sound. Doesn't have the ringing sound, the dead sound. Moses asked one man, or they volunteered, and one man went under one of Moses' arms, and he became the support under one of Moses' arms. Another man went under the other arm and became the support under the other arm. And when they raised one arm, the army advanced. When they raised the other arm, the army retreated, followed backwards. This is in the Bible, okay? So this is why Jesus is associated with this. This is the science of science. I won't go into that. It's too much. This is a science of the nature of human being. His left is one way of getting into his life to influence him through his left. His right is a different nature, but yet the same human being, just a different aspect of his total human nature. The right is another way to get into him. And you can use these two ways to get into him, and you can influence his life in the world, or on the path, on his path, or anybody's path. Okay? So this is what was controlling the battle for the people of Moses, the raising and the gesting of these two arms. Huh? Yes. Okay. So he had the cross, right? Jesus Christ is not just the teacher of faith. Jesus Christ is the teacher of science. the science of the spiritual life of the human family. The science of the spiritual life of the human family. Moses had that science. It was given to him by God. He didn't have it in the beginning. It was given to him by God. When God told him, said, what? Ask him, said, what is that in your hand? And he said, this is what I use to support myself and to knock the brush away in the path when I'm walking through the brush. And God says, throw it from you. And Moses threw it from him. When it became detached from him, that means he was no more influenced by it. He detached himself from it. He saw it as a frightening snake, crawling and looking in every respect to be a snake. This is what Allah said in the Quran. And Allah told him, don't be afraid. Grab it again. And when he grabbed it again, it became as it was before, a staff that he could use. But now he had been given the science of it by God. When God told him to grab it again, he had shown him what it was, so now he grabs it again with knowledge of what it is. And it remained his staff. And he, when he went against the musicians, against the witch doctors and musicians, the magic workers, and they threw their, they didn't know that God had already did it to him, and they didn't see it. So they threw their little sticks, whoop, and then it came serpents. They thought Moses was going to be frightened and just get the Holy Ghost, I guess, and become a believer in the ancient Egyptian, the false religion. But Moses threw his. Moses turned into a serpent and swallowed all theirs up. I mean, the more powerful and bigger science consumed all of their falsehoods, ate up all their falsehoods. It doesn't mean it ate it up like you eat up like you eat the thing. What it means is that it had mastery over their weaker sciences. And it just picked it apart, like your teeth bite up something, pick it apart. It just picked their deceits apart and left their deceits as nothing but chewed up garbage. Allahu Akbar. Now, when Jesus Christ, when it said of Jesus Christ in the Testament that he's the bread, that the bread, meaning his flesh, referring to his flesh, is the doctrine of the New Testament. The doctrine means that gives you speech and language you can communicate this, that has the reasoning and the logic. It is the doctrine of the New Testament. And when he says that his blood is the spirit of the New Testament, and he told them to take bread and wine in remembrance of it, right? When he's telling them that, and he's telling them how to see him. And when he took his disciples up and showed them the figures in the configuration, he was telling his disciples how to see him as a knowledge body, as a spiritual knowledge body. And then he said, when they said, do you come to change the law of Moses? He said, no. But to fulfill it. Isn't that what he said? So that's the connection with Moses teaching students, right? Yeah. All right. So it's plain for the Christians if they can see what Muhammad saw. See, Allah showed Muhammad these things and revealed to him the Quran for us. Knowing that those people would never change and they wouldn't believe in him. Allah says, if you would bring a book down from the sky and they see it with their own eyes, they'll say enchantment. So he couldn't change them. And it wasn't God's intention to force any change in them. So a new group of people had to be chosen. The Muslims are the chosen people. And we are not lost. Allah has found us. We are not lost. Okay. So we see the spiritual establishment, I'm sure now. We see the spiritual establishment. How we are to establish ourselves. We see the spiritual establishment. We see that we are already growing in that establishment. We have been growing in that establishment ever since the beginning of the Nation of Islam under the honor of Elijah Muhammad. We have been growing in this spiritual establishment. Our engaging the material world before we got our spiritual life clearly before us is what made us fail in our material pursuits. We would have been successful if we had been established in our spiritual life. We would have been successful. We're going to be successful this time, no doubt. All right. And I'm not speaking with this inshallah. Yes, inshallah, and it was Allah's will, and it is Allah's will, and it's going to stay Allah's will. All right. Now, Allah gave us a material body. He didn't just put us down here as soul. They call us soul people, soul people. What do you mean soul people? God gave me a physical body, not just a soul. And my spiritual body houses my soul. My spiritual body does also only house my soul. My spiritual body is the instrument that my soul plays upon. It's my bugle. It's my piano. It's my drum. But it's even more than that. It's the means of for my expressions. What I feel spiritually is taken over by my body. And my body begins to express what the spirit wants to do. I want to move. So the spirit, the body starts expressing it. Right? I want to communicate to you. So the body starts expressing it. Assalamu alaikum, my brother. Happy to see you. Haven't seen you in a long time. Blessed Ramadan. That's the needs of my spirit. My body doesn't need to talk to you like that. That's the invisible me inside needing to talk to you like that. So Allah didn't give us souls and minds and spirit, etc., the invisible part, which is the most important part. It is the life, the real life. He didn't give us this to be bodiless. So if he didn't give me a soul and a spirit and intelligence to be bodiless, I need my body to communicate this untouchable, intangible life inside me, then what about my wants, my spirit that goes beyond my body? God didn't confine me to this body. He just put me in this body for expression and communication. But he didn't limit my movement to this body. My life moves outside of this body to perceive you. See how powerful these five senses are? To listen to you. To look at the sky and wonder about it, to hear the thunder and wonder, to smell the scents in the air and enjoy them, and pursue these scents if I want to. To touch with my hand and know the difference between rough and smooth, between hot and cold, etc. So he gave me these five senses, not just for my own body, but he gave me these five senses for my freedom. For my freedom and progress in this world. Five senses. And I believe the Genesis said it on the fifth day. He created the birds. To fly into heaven. On the fifth day, he created the birds to fly into heaven. Freedom. See, if you ain't got no wings, you don't have the freedom to go up off of earth. unless you got a plane. And it ain't nothing but an imitation of the birds. Yeah, so freedom. What is saying? Man cannot be free without life for his five senses. You have to have life for your five senses in order to be free, brother. And Islam is freedom, justice, and equality. Freedom first, justice and equality. Let's see here. Five senses. So you see how important the five senses are? I'm going to conclude just in a few minutes. For this material world, now we're in the material establishment now, where the five senses must be brought to life. Yes, I have to go back. We talked about Shahada. We talked about Salah. We talked about Zakat. We talked about fasting, Sawm, what we're doing now, Sawm, Ramadan, Siyam. And we talked about Hajj a little bit, just to compare them or relate them, pardon me, to the five senses. How many educators or principals or school teachers or persons working with children to help them be educated? How many of you are here? Raise your hands, please. I mean, wonderful. I'm happy to see you. Happy to see you here. Happy to know you're here. I'm a teacher, too. I love teaching. I taught in the University of Islam. I was a student there. I was taught there myself. But I also taught in the University of Islam. And when we established the school under my leadership on Stony Island at Muhammad's Mosque number 2, I also taught there. I have years of teaching experience with children. I love it. I'm not a preacher, really. I love to teach. The Spirit makes me preach, but I love to teach. That's my groove is teaching. Yes. Now, if you all listen to this very carefully, if you don't already have this perception and method, I would say method of helping a student yourself firstly. It's going to help you a lot. And it's something so simple. Mr. Farrar said it. He said, he hinted to it. Think five times before you speak, and maybe you'll be correct. He said, maybe. Which means the five senses are not a sure guarantee, but you need to use them first. Now, there's a saying in philosophy that all the five senses are one. And they say perception is one, combining all the five senses. So the greatest utility for perception is when you use all your five senses as one operation, and that is the intent is to understand, to perceive and understand, to have perception. I really don't think there's a sixth sense. They say the intuitive sense, but I can accept the language can be used that there's a sixth sense. I think really intuition, the power of intuition, the psychic power, all that, is nothing but all the senses united into one power. They're all the senses united into one power, into one energy force, one energy source and one energy force. That's what they are, that I believe. All right? And they help you have perception. If you don't hear well and you're trying to see truth, you're going before. So you're going to have problems. If you hear well and don't see well, you have it all. If you feel and can't see or hear, you're in serious trouble. Now, when I want to do something, I just shouldn't do it unless I have already been established in respect for my five senses. I've already been established in that respect for the five senses of human beings. If I'm not established in respect for the five senses of human beings, if I'm a product of this present time, the present time we live in is the time for mankind's intelligence, and I mean women too. It is a time of spontaneity, improvisation, improvising, rote activity, meaning that it has been done so often that you don't have to think about it. You have repeated it so many times, you don't have to think about it. Habit, etc. That's the time we're living in. That has characterized that fish in the soul and intellect of man has become our life now. You know, fish is a jerky creature, jerky thing, like lightning, huh? In the sky. That's how the fish go. It is a very special fish that goes straight. That's the one Moses was looking for, right? But he missed it because he couldn't follow the wise man in that pursuit. It was spiritual. Moses wasn't supposed to be. Moses wanted to get back on the land. He wanted to get back in the community of men and do battle with Pharaoh and his riches and get to his people on where they had to go. So he wasn't ready for the spiritual school. So he couldn't follow the wise man to learn many wonderful things about the sciences of the spirituality of a human being. Okay. Where was I? Yeah, our time. Our time is this reflex thing. This reflex thing, you know, moving on reflex. You have difficulty with your children at home. You can't talk to them no more. They can't hear you. They can't hear you. They can't see what you want to show them. All their five senses seem to be gone crazy, or astray, awry. Yes, we have to orientate our children and ourselves, firstly, to respect the five senses. Hey, listen to what you hear. Isn't it mystifying that God gave us an open ear? But when our mind ain't with you, I can't hear a thing you're saying. It's open just like it was when I was giving you attention. Nothing has changed. Only my interest has changed. My interest has changed. I don't hear things you say. You can shout loud as thunder through the electric storm, and maybe you'll get my attention. Huh? I didn't hear you. I'm sorry. How come you didn't hear me? Your ear though? Okay, you materialists that don't believe in the spiritual reality. Your ear's open. Nothing changed in it. How come you don't hear me? Because there's a spiritual life that man cannot know in its deepest depth or in its entirety. It will leave us mystified a bit. We cannot. That's why psychology is not an exact science. Because there are things that they cannot know about the inner life of man. Okay, bless you, Rahimallah. Yes. So we need to give this understanding to ourselves first. That we have come, that we're not the man that That was the man of the land. The man of the land had his five senses. Now, the world of Aquarius and the water, et cetera, have taken us from being attached to the land, okay? And in this world that is floating above land, we are detached from our five senses, from the powers of our five senses. So now we have to recognize this and condition ourselves and our children. It should be part of your curriculum. You should put this interest there so that your subjects will help. And somewhere in your subjects, you will have something to help our children overcome this, levitation, this floating of our senses in the air, and attach our senses back down to basics, the land. Get our senses back rooted, back in basics, in reality, in land, away from this floating culture that we have called the popular culture today. And we need to tell our children to pay attention to what you're hearing. Isn't this how we start our worship of God, the prayer? First, before we say anything, and it's called Adam, which means comes from the verb adat, which means to pay attention. And the instruction is set then, pay attention. So I want to tell you, pay attention. I say, it's set then. It's set then. Pay attention. From Uden. From Uden comes Adam, or from the verb to pay attention comes Uden. They say Arabic words come from verbs, not from nouns. The root is the verb, not from the noun. So if that's true, then Uden ear came from the verb to pay attention. And Adam also comes from the verb to pay attention. And we put our hands to our Uden, or Udenan, two ears, or one, some of them good ones. They be silent. but the regular way is to put both hands to our ears like this, and it's called Adan, from open the ear. So these ears, you know, in animals, like the dog and other, when something gets their attention, you see that ear. Huh? They're on alert, the ears. Okay. We need to teach them to pay attention to what they're hearing. Because if you don't pay attention to what your ears are hearing, you're just like a deaf person. That's all absorbed, something else. So the hearing doesn't work. They have to be trained to do that because they have lost that. They are born in a world that lost that. So they have to be trained to do that. Now, it was natural for man, because man was formed of the earth and then becomes detached of there, and he loses his natural ability, nature, form, and abilities, natural abilities. Okay, so they can't hear. You can be looking at something and don't see it. Isn't it some kind of senses work? You could be looking at something and somebody has to tell you, hey, you have to see that man, you're gonna run into it. You didn't see it, you had something else so much taking all your energies. Now one thing old Sigmund Freud, I think he's a fraud. I still believe he's a fraud. But one thing old Sigmund Freud said, I think is true. He said all the energies in the body are actually one energy source. That's what he said, called a reservoir. There's one source, and this one source is expressed in all these other needs, avenues of human energy and expression. That's, I believe he was right. So that explains then how if I concentrate so much on one thing, All my energies, all my consciousness, all my energies have been taken and concentrated right there on that one thing. If that thing is outside the matter at hand, I'm lost before the matter at hand. I can't see, I can't hear, I can't smell, I can't even think, because you need those five senses to even think. All right. So tell your children like I tell mine. Please pay attention to what you're hearing. Respect what you're hearing. If you don't respect me, at least respect your ears. Your ears were given to you by your Creator to hear communication sounds. Please pay attention to what you're hearing. You be talking to them, they're not paying attention to what you hear, but what you're saying. And because they're not paying attention to what you're saying, the ears are hearing. Believe me, the ears are hearing. Because when you get their attention, they say, well, yeah, I hear you. You heard me, but you couldn't respond. Isn't that something? That's something. Okay, I think it lets us know that Allah created something that's too big for us to manage alone. It just keep reinforcing that. Allah created something that's too big for humans to manage alone. We need God. We have to have Allah to reveal to us these things and show us the way, enlighten us so that we can walk a path that we can see and go to where we know we should go. Yes. Okay. So, wow. Time is fine. I have to leave here too pretty soon. But I'll wrap this up. Once I get over these complex things in the past, I want to be very easy and quickly wrapped up, wound up, whatever we want to say. Isn't that something? Our language is something, too. Wrap it up. Okay, ready to wind it up now, man? Can't you wind it up? Cut it off. That's kind of brutal, isn't it? Cut it off. Okay, that's a wrap. Shows how much we are living in the world of darkness. This world is darkness. That's what Scripture says, the Bible. This world is darkness. Yeah, okay. Where was I? Oh, yes. So teach yourself first. Pay attention to what you are hearing, especially if it's important. Somebody speaking, and you wouldn't be there to hear them if it wasn't important. Unless it's a show. If it's a show, give it respect too. Keep your eyes on it. Listen to what's happening so you enjoy the show. Pay $75 for a ticket to see a show and sit up there with your mind. Sometimes we're going to have some fun, brothers. We leave the sisters out. These brothers can put their whole mind in a small place. You know that? So this goes for all senses. Somebody can be hitting you. And you can say, hey, man, I'm almost about to break your arm, man. I'm trying to tell you something. Bam, bam. And your mind's so engrossed, you ain't caught, you know, paying any attention to them. Hey, man, hey. So all your senses can be cut off by you absorbing yourself in something separate from what's the matter at hand that your senses should be engaging. So that is great, great insight and great, great help for teachers and also for us to get our people to come back to life, come back to their hearing, to the good condition of their five senses. That's what we have to do. We have to bring, that's the life, the five senses. Now, we know we have a higher spiritual life, too, but to live in this world, when you go up, there's seven, right? Up to seven, down to something else. Up, to heaven, right? Seven up to heaven. I think that's how they put it, the saying in English. Seven up to heaven. Yeah, seven up. And it means seven up to heaven. Yeah, but five down here where you have to live, you need five. That's why our religion emphasizes the five. Buni al Islam wa al khamsin. Islam has been established upon five. It didn't say five senses. It didn't even say five pillars. It says Buni al Islam wa al khamsin.
You've been listening to part two of Imam W.D. Muhammad's Ramadan Session 2001. Before we give you another dose, we want to remind everyone that this program is brought to us by American Muslim 360, and they need our continued support to keep providing these excellent programs. So we're encouraging all of the believers, Muslims, listeners, others who are there to send your donations, support to AM360. You can go online and get the P.O. box, or you can call 646-716-4478. That's 646-716-4478. It is said that our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to be most generous, particularly in the month of Ramadan. So we want to be, we can't be as generous as our Prophet, but we want to model him, follow him, and do our part to support American Muslim 360, so we can continue getting excellent programs like we are getting this evening and throughout this entire month and actually throughout the year and since the time that American Muslim 360, AM 360, has been on the air. This is our medium. No one supports us but us. Make sure to send your donations in. AM360, go online, www.AmericanMuslim360.com, or call 646-716-4478, so you can get the information for the P.O. box, and we will give that information out near the end of the program, where you can send your contributions. Thank you, and now we're back to Imam W. Dean Muhammad.
Five pillars. It says, Buni al Islamu ala khamsin. It says five. And those who have passed it on to us say five pillars, five principles. They say that. But the original saying of our Prophet, prayer and peace be on him, is just Islam is structured or built upon five. Khamsin. Five work as ten, right? Because five works to have perception, to know what's there, to know what I'm hearing, what I'm seeing, what I'm feeling, etc. But five also works to know what I'm to do with this, how I'm to carry this further. So to carry it further, I have to think on it or reflect on it. But they said, what is that? And the male is not like the female. The thinker is not a woman. That artist who made that figure of the thinker, they bad sexes or your all sister. Got the male resting his hand on his fist, or his head resting his head on his hand or his fist, thinking. That's the symbol of the thinker, right? And in the Quran, Allah says, "Relations zakat kel unta." And the male is not like the female. And the zakat is reflect one who not doesn't just have five senses, and reflect progress the matter further. Reflection to regret to progress the matter further. Now, this is the history of man. This is not talking about the ability of men and women. It's talking about the history of man. Man has become the receptor and the thinker and the scientist because he had to go out from the body into the field, the material field, the world. And he went out there, and because he went out there, his five senses had to be utilized to utilize the benefits and the utility in the material world. So doing this over generations and generations, for centuries and eons of time, man has become the thinker, the scientist, etc. But now the world has all been discovered, and the wilderness has been changed, and its traveling is comfortable, and the woman is catching up with the man, because God gave her the same capacity he gave us. That's why he tells us we are the male, meaning, and he used the term Zacchaeus to say that you are typical of this kind of activity in the mind or in the human being. It's not to say that you're the only one like that, so that we'll know we're not the only one. The female has this capacity too, this gift from God, this mercy, wonderful gift, brother. And she should be recognized for having this. And the women who reflect. And the surah that's given the believer and showing you one going from one to the other, from the male to the female. It says the men who reflect and the women who reflect. Saying that she has the same activity that you have. She has the same gift that you have. But because of her physiology, she bears your children and she stays at home and you go out in the field. And out in the field, you have sharpened your five senses. This is in the Bible. There were two brothers. One was his name means the right hand. Benjamin, son of my right hand. Yeah, thank you, brothers. Benjamin and his brother, see, my mind was not on that. What's his brother's name? Joseph. Joseph and Benjamin. No. Jacob. Jacob married to get two sons from Rachel. And Rachel's sons are Joseph and Benjamin. Joseph and Benjamin. I got, yes. Yeah, right. I got it all out. Got it back. I was off out of the way of that. Couldn't get back to it. Now, Jacob brought landrace, it's a plant, to Rachel. And he fixed her something to be taken in, to be taken from the mandrake. The mandrake is a powerful root. For its body, it has a big root. And even looks something like a human being, kind of formed and form. It's a strong root in the earth, and a fat, strong root in the earth. And he gave her something, she gave it to her for her to take something into her system of the mandrake. And she conceived after taking that. And she gave birth to Joseph. And later she gave birth to Benjamin. And it says of Benjamin that he was a man of the field. Benjamin was a man of the field. All right. What is this talking about? One was a man of the field, and she gave birth to two children. One was a man gifted with great spiritual gifted with the ability to handle the world, because he was a man of the field, Benjamin. And they both came from the root, a big root in the earth, right? Yeah, big root in the earth, mandrake. Yeah. So let me conclude this. We cannot establish our material community like we are supposed to establish it unless we follow the Quran and Muhammad's way, Muhammad's tradition. And we will not be able to follow the Quran and Muhammad's tradition in these dark hours for the Ummah and the world, spiritual hours, unless we have one inspired, guided by God. Now, when we have the business meeting, we're going to touch what we're going to take apart, take on that part of this subject that's dealing with the present realities that we are already in. Excuse me, I'm going to have to leave and come right back. Okay? Yes. Yes, I had to leave the theater. Sorry for that, but I had to leave it and come right back. I came right back. Yes, it's 10 o'clock now, 2 minutes after 10. I'm going to have to leave. I have to go. It's important that I have to go to the post office before they close at 7 o'clock today. I'm going to have to go and have a meeting and then go right there. I'm going to the post office, and then I'll be back here after I take care of those things. So I don't think I will be able to join you in the Zuhr prayer, but I should be back here soon after Zuhr prayer. And let's see what this is. Now, if I have to change that, because I'm going to be absent today. So this is the standard, right? Okay, here it is. We will go from this session to the session with our investors. I won't say distributors, because distributors, we know distributors are investors. We'll go into a session for our investors in the CPC Complex operation business that we have going here. But understand that this is not a CPC Complex meeting. But I want you there, because we're going to be discussing business and how we can take advantage of the big opportunities that we have to make the business bigger and bigger and bigger. As Muslims, and I'll be addressing just how we should do this as Muslims. And it is a religious duty. Do you know that? It's a religious duty for us to build our community up materially. It's a religious duty. Just prayer, you have to pray. Zakat is the focus for not only charity. Zakat is the focus for economics. It's also the focus for economics. It's also the focus for the economic system of Muslims. Zakat. So it's not just charity, it's an obligation. Obligation of those who have to help those who can't help themselves. It's an obligation. And it's an obligation on us to help the vital needs of our community. And you can't do that unless you have money, finances, production, business. You have to have it. And that's what Allah did. He put the man in the ground, didn't he? In the earth, and he formed him of the earth. And God says, get thee down from here. Down here you will find that satisfies your hope, your aspiration. It's the meeting place for you, place where you're going to die, and out of it you'll be brought again. And you know, when you make sense that, you make two. The first one leaves you dead. You went in the earth and you died. But you were resurrected. You come up again. Then you go back into the earth and you come out with the ability to manage the material reality. Yes. So God brought us out of the earth when he formed Adam. And we came from our parents, our mothers and fathers. As a community, we're going to die again in this material world. But God is going to bring us up again. Like he formed Adam from the earth, he's going to bring us up again from death in materialism, from death in the world of materialism. And believe me, that's what this world is. It's the world of materialism. And the last recourse for the rulers is to bury us. Some of us are buried dead. Some of us are buried alive. But the last recourse for the rulers is to bury us. You see that, you can see a pattern, a cycle, where the people are out from material greed, and for a long time, the trends are away from material greed. And after a while, the world gets really bad. The behavior gets bad. Everything gets bad. And then you see the material greed comes back in the picture. And the people are all slaves to money, slaves to material things. And then they go so far there, and rain comes down on the dead ground, soften it. And up comes life again. Up comes life again. This is the way of the world. Don't think this is just spiritual teaching for the resurrection or for the afterlife. No, this is the way of the world. We have our changes here. Christ Jesus said, yeah, you can look at the sky and see the signs and say it's going to rain. But you don't see the signs of the seasons. The seasons. But it's a whole season of cold, a whole season of hot. So, greed that brings winter freezes up the human society. It brings winter. We don't care about each other. We're so rude and disrespectful of one another's life, can't put no value on it, come very cold. The greed for the material thing. And then you get started again when it's not cold and it's not hot, springtime, not in extremes. And when the warmth is coming back. And the rains are coming. Then the life starts to come back. Out of the dead earth starts to come back. So we should understand these things that Jesus addressed when he told the people, you can read the sky and signs of the sky, but you can't read the signs of the seasons. All the seasons. That break these three chains. These are material-based changes. Our social life, our cultural life, etc., all based in the material realities. I'm going to leave in a couple of minutes here so you all can do something else while I'm gone. Take care of your business, but please don't waste your time. I don't want my students engaging each other in nonsense talk, getting away from this interest that we have in our community to make our community better, wiser, more efficient, more productive. I don't want you to leave that. If you discuss what I have been giving you, and believe me, the session started with the Adhan for Jumu'ah prayers. and with my khutbah that I gave, thanks to Allah, I was then addressing the theme for this day, for these times, these days, in this time that we have here together, Friday, Saturday, up until noon tomorrow. That's what I was doing. I asked Allah's guidance, and I carefully wrote the direction, the steps in my khutbah to make a big advance or step for this Ramadan sessions that we're having. So you who took notes, you should reflect on those notes. You should look back and call those notes. Think about those notes. And see, can you go from my khutbah and keep a continuous line of thought and concern to the end, which will be tomorrow, inshallah, just before the Zuhr prayer time. The notes you're taking today, reflect on them. Because at some point, which most likely will be either before or right after we have the meeting on business, it might be before, just to close out this part of it, I'm going to invite you to make comments.
You've been listening to Imam W. Dean Muhammad's Ramadan Session Excerpts 2001 on American Muslim 360. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed it. And in order to keep these programs going throughout the rest of the month and throughout the year, American Muslim 360 needs our financial support. Send your contributions, checks, or money orders. Post Office Box 727, Stockton, California, STOCKTON, Stockton, California, zip code 95201. Yearly memberships, $24.95 for adults, $14.95 for seniors and youth. Businesses or masjids, $99 for the entire year to keep these excellent programs on the air. This is our medium. Allah has blessed us with this. We thank Thomas Abdul Salam for initiating this effort, working hard to make sure that the Muslim voice in America is heard, the indigenous Muslim voice and other Muslim voices are heard in the United States of America from our perspective and others around the world, because we're online. Anyone around the world can hear the wonderful contributions that Muslims in America are making to the rise of al-Islam in America. If you recall, I read the sayings of our prophet that one of the gates of paradise will be Bible Sadaqah. And those who are called Ahli Sadaqat, the people of Sadaqah, those who give charity, support, excellent, progressive, and productive causes, fi sabilillah, in the cause of God. You've been listening to Imam W. Dean Muhammad. I'm your host.
Assalamu alaikum. Here's the American Muslim 360, inshallah. Again, we're listening to, as Yahya said, Jada Walter Dean Muhammad. This was definitely recorded some time ago. We're just replaying the recording from Clear Concepts. Inshallah, we have about 30 minutes. I'm going to play another clip of Mujahid Waratuddin Muhammad from Rob of All the Worlds. And it is about exactly 29 minutes. It should take us to the top of the hour where Imam Yahya Abdullah, Clear Concepts, will be starting at that time. So again, continue to enjoy the Mujahid Waratuddin Muhammad.
This is the world broadcast of Imam Waqif Dean Muhammad Speaks, the program that's dedicated to community development and human dignity. And now, Imam Waqif Dean Muhammad.
Praise be to Allah, the one Lord, creator of all of us. And peace and blessings be upon the universal messenger, Prophet Muhammad, and all the righteous servants of Allah that is of God. Today I had planned to come out, and I learned that Imam Qasim Ahmed had invited the Imam from Cincinnati here. Is he here? Is he here today, the Imam from Cincinnati? I don't see him. Well, he might come. So if he comes, we will hear from him perhaps after I finish. This is not too late. However, I did see Imam Qasim Ahmed before he left, and he didn't mention to me that the Imam was coming from Cincinnati. So I was asked if I was coming out today by a couple of believers. I told him yes. They said, "Well, will you talk? Will you be talking?" I said yes. And then later, I learned that the Imam Bashir was coming. They said, "Well, Imam Bashir has been invited." I said, "Well, tell him good. Have a seat and listen to what we have to say today." So, you know, just having a little fun, you know. Believe me, I know him. He's a nice person. He would love to be here to hear what we have to say today. Yeah. Praise be to Allah. I want to begin with a verse from Quran. And for the sake of us getting more interest in reading the Quran in its own language, in the original language, and for my own personal benefit as well, we'll read it in Arabic and give the translation. It is good to read the Quran in its original language, and it is good to hear it often, even if you don't understand it. It's good to hear it, because the more you hear it, it's like the child that's born in the world. The child doesn't know our language, but hearing our language helps the child to learn our language. And if the child can't hear, then it can't learn our language, you see. So let me read verse from Quran. قُلْ أَإِنَّكُمْ لَتَكْفُرُونَ بِالَّذِي خَلَقَ الْأَرْضَ فِي يَوْمَيْنِ وَتَجْعَلُونَ لَهُ أَنْدَادًا ذَلِكَ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Now here, the verse from Quran, the words of Allah, that is the word of the one God, highly praises He, questions the person who will deny or disbelieve in the God who has created the earth. There's in two periods, or in two days, and has established in it its foundation, says that is the Lord of all the world. So the Lord that has created the earth,
saw him, that was
one that has created everything else. He has created the earth and has given it its nature, its design, and has also created everything above us, everything. Now, why is it so difficult for some people to believe in that God? It should be difficult for us to believe in a God that is superstition. This is not a God connected with superstition. The true God is connected with the real world, with the reality that we know. We call it the reality. The true God is connected with the earth and with everything we see in the visible world, the material surrounding, and everything that has come as a consequence of that. And so that's not superstition. The belief of the Muslim in God, the Jew belief in God, the Christian belief in God, when we understand their belief properly, we don't believe in superstition. We believe in a real God. And it's based upon rational concepts, rational ideas, as well as faith. Not faith alone, but it's based also upon rational ideas, rational principles that can be proven. Again, Allah Most High, the Quran, He says, وَمَا لَكُمْ لَا تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولُ وَمَا لَكُمْ لَا تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولُ يَدْعُوكُمْ لِتُؤْمِنُوا بِرَبِّكُمْ وَالرَّسُولُ يَدْعُوكُمْ لِتُؤْمِنُوا بِرَبِّكُمْ And why or what would cause you to disbelieve in Allah while the Messenger of Allah is calling you to believe in your Rabb? It says, Rabbikum, your Rabb. Rabbikum, your Rabb. Now, what is the logic here? They translate this word, Rabbikum, your Lord. But if you read every translation by all the accepted translators, here we have a translation of Quran right before me here by Maulana Abdullah Yusuf Ali. There are many other translators who have done the Quran into English, translated the Quran in English. They all will tell you that their translation is not sufficient, that their translation is not sufficient, that it falls short of giving the full meaning and full beauty of the original text that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad, peace be on him. So if we understand that, then let us discuss a little more, see more in this word, Rabbikum. When we say Lord to an English-speaking people, to an English-speaking audience, you may think of Jesus right away as the Lord. But the people of Scripture, they called God Lord before the Christians called Jesus Lord. You see? And we find that in the history, political history of the people, they address certain governmental people with that term, or by that title, Lord. The Lords of London. The Lords in the governmental constitution of the English, the British people. They call them Lords. The House of Lords, the House of Commons. As we have what? The Senate and the Congress, right? Yes. And they have the House of Lords and the House of Commons. You see? So when we say Lord, we feel obligated. Muslim, that is. We feel obligated to explain to you in more detail what this word means. Now, we know the meaning of a word by studying that word in the context in which it is used. Many words take on different meanings because we change the context. They are scientific terms that when you use them in purely scientific language, they carry a scientific meaning, a purely scientific meaning. But the same term used in common language may not carry, in fact, it will not carry that meaning, that specific meaning. So we know that the words have to be understood in their proper context. And I thank Allah that I have been permitted to live long enough and to keep a good sane mind to study this book and to read it over many times. So I will understand what a word means in the Quran. Because if you read it in just one verse or in just one chapter, that's not enough. You have to read that same word in many verses and in many chapters to see how Allah revealed this word to Muhammad, peace be on him, and how that word is to be understood in this book, the Quran, in the context of the Quran. So, dear beloved people, the word Rabb is used in many ways in the Quran. And when we study the many ways in which it is used, then we see the meaning of Rabb. Allah says in the Quran that Allah is the Rabb of a human being. He is the Rabb also of jinn. Now, the jinn refer to, they say, spirit. And some people believe that jinn can be in man too. And if man is dominated by that spirit called jinn, then at that time, that man is jinn. You see? And Allah is also the Rabb, He is the Lord of men. And many of you believe that in referring to men, Allah is not talking about just any man. He's talking about the children of Adam. And in talking about the children of Adam, He's not talking about just any man. He's talking about the people that have been following the Prophet. The people that have been following the Prophet. Adam was a prophet. In the Bible, New Testament, the genealogy of Jesus, that is His birth history, is traced back to Adam. So we understand that to be the history of the servants of God. The history of the servants of God. And we know all of us are said to have been born from Adam, right? They say Adam is the father of all of us. They say we all are born from Adam. Well, in one sense, yes. In another sense, no. Some of us, in our biological makeup, we are from Adam. God only created one type of human, one human being, one human form. So in our biological form, we are from Adam. But in our spirit, we are from the jinn. Right? We're not from Adam. We're the children of the jinn. Not Adam. In our spirit. Because we don't behave like God-fearing people. We don't behave like rational human beings. We behave like wild animals. Our devil. So then, strictly speaking, we are not the children of Adam, if we are like that. We are the children of the jinn. You see? Now, dear beloved people, Rabb is the one, says, who created us and the jinn. So if Allah has created the jinn, then can the jinn be all bad? No. No. The jinn are not all bad. In the Quran, we are told that a party of the jinn heard the Quran as it was being recited. And they got faith. Faith entered their heart. And they say, we have heard a wonderful recital. And we bear witness that no jinn and no man should fabricate a lie against God. So they begin to give a proper testimony. So that tells us that the jinn are not inherently bad. The jinn is inherently good. But the jinn too gets off of his nature. What is the proper nature of everything then? The proper nature of everything is to conform to the laws created by God. And Allah created the jinn, Allah created the men, but the men get away, stray from that. And pretty soon they don't only stray from the word of God, they stray from the behavioral tendency that God established for them. And they begin to take up destructive kinds of habits. They give themselves to destructive kinds of involvement. Involvement in destruction. Self-destruction, destruction of others, destruction of property, destruction of civilization. And so on. So this tells us that Allah has created everything. He is the Rabb of everything. Now I think the meaning of Rabb is coming to you without me telling you what it means. As we begin to discuss how it is used, we will see the meaning. So Allah is the Rabb of the jinn. He is the Rabb of men. And Allah says in the Quran that He has not created men nor jinn for any purpose except to worship Him. So Allah created jinn to worship Him. Now, do we mean to make these superficial, ritualistic prayers? Oh, that's just one expression of worship. Worship is much deeper than that. To worship Him is to serve the purpose that He has designed to bring excellence out and to bring excellence to grow in the world. That's serving Him. He created everything, yes, but He also gave it a potential excellence. And we see in the study of the evolution of animals, the evolution of plants, the evolution of the very crust of the earth, we see in the evolution of matter a growth toward more and more excellence. Then when we study the animal, the kingdom, and look at the cruelty in the animal, look at the cruelty in the animal. They tell us that in earlier periods of history in the animal kingdom, animals were very vicious. Huge animals walking the earth, they're called dinosaurs. Saber-toothed tiger, much bigger than the one we have now. Much more vicious. They found his teeth longer, much longer. Huge teeth. Where are they today? The process of evolving excellence has left them behind, has buried them as fossils in the ground. And left what? The more livable creatures to hang around on the earth. So you see, He is the Rabb of everything. He is the Rabb of everything. And look, when we look at the man, the human race, the human being, we see him in the process of evolution too, toward more excellence. We look around the world to see those wild hordes, the pirates of the seas, and the Mongol hordes. Where are they? Gone from the earth. Where are those vicious, cruel human beings who used to just terrorize the earth and the seas, the land and the seas? They're not around here anymore. And we find more people talking about humanity, more people talking about humanism, more people talking about love, more people spreading peace, carrying peace abroad in this time. Whereas many thousands of years ago, the wild men had the freedom to roam the earth. But now it is the peacemakers that's roaming the earth. And the wild people are almost in prison. So doesn't this tell you that there's a natural process? That there is a natural process being evolved? And Allah, He is the Rabb of that. He is the Rabb of that. وَمَا لَكُمْ لَا تُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ. And what is wrong with you? You know, وَمَا لَكُمْ, that's a perfect grammar, perfect Arabic grammar, the best Arabic, Fusha. But you know, that's a very simple statement, isn't it? Very simple question. That's a question that any common person would ask when someone is going out of the natural behavior. What's wrong with you? And that's what Allah asks here in perfect Arabic grammar. Malakum, what's the matter with you? That you don't believe in God, Allah, the one Lord. وَالرَّسُولُ يَتَعُوكُمْ لِتُؤْمِنُوا بِرَبِّكُمْ. While the messenger is calling you to believe in your Rabb. He's not calling you to believe in superstition. He's calling you to believe in your Rabb. And your Rabb is also the Prophet's Rabb. It was the Rabb of Adam. And here it says, in the verse I read earlier, it says, and He is the Lord of all the world. It says, ذَلِكَ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. And that is, or and this is, the Lord or the Rabb of all the world. Whatever world we know, political world, we speak of our political worlds as different worlds, don't we? We speak of our religious worlds as different worlds. And then we see them bodies floating in the space. We speak of them as different worlds. Well, this Quran says Allah is the Rabb of all of them. All of them. We speak of the world of living matter, the world of dead matter. We speak of, we use this term world in many senses, don't we? In many applications. And Allah is the Rabb of all the world. Dear beloved people, let us continue now. Allah Most High says in the Quran, لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلُنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأَنْزَلْنَا مَعَهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْمِيزَانَ لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ. Here, Allah Most High is saying that He has certainly sent, says we. Allah used the term we. We have sent. Now we know Allah in our religion. We don't believe Allah belongs to a Godhead. There's a government of God and a cabinet of some angels or a Senate and a Congress of angels. We don't believe that. When Allah says we, it's the same usage, the same language usage that you will find when you go to Saudi Arabia, or to Sharjah, or to Egypt, or to any country over there, and the ruler, when he speaks, he'll say we. Nahnu, we. When he says we, he means I speak for everybody in here. I'm the boss. That's what he means when he says we. He speaks for his kingdom. So Allah says we in the Quran, He speaks for His kingdom. Who is in His kingdom? The angels and all servants. Angels are servants, the spirit and all servants. No equals. No gods with Him, no equals, no other bosses. All right. We wanted to say that because we know some Christians have misinterpreted the Bible where it says, He said, let us make man. That not only did others have a share in the run of the creation, but they suggest that others had a share in even the creation of man. So let us make man. Allah in the Quran never says, let us make man. It says He created man. And He created jinn. He created both. In fact, the angels, they had to be told. In our religion, we are told that Allah had created the angels before He created men. And then He said to the angels, He said, come look at the man I'm going to create. And He introduced the angels to the man He was going to create. And the angels were shocked by that. They said, how can any human being stand this test that you're going to give them? And then God showed him, the angels, His great wisdom, and the angels marveled at His great wisdom. But we know of another report is that when He informed the angels that He was going to make man a ruler in earth, giving him a higher dignity than He gave the angel, then one of the angels, one among the angels who was leader of them, again, called Iblis in the Quran, he refused to accept God's plan for this dignified creature He's going to make in the earth. He got arrogant and proud, puffed up with pride, self-conceit, got self-important, and he said, I will not accept to submit to this man, to this creature that you're going to make from the ground, from earth, from the ground. So a different expression for you, from clay, and another one says, from mud, stinky mud, or black mud fashioned into shape. You see? So, he refused. And Allah, Most High, he said to him, what is the matter with you that you don't accept to submit to the leader that I have made, the man, the leader, ruler, that I have made with my two hands? Meaning that the kingdom up there had been made with only one hand. Only with spiritual power. And the new man he was going to make was going to be made with rational logic. He was going to be established on the principles of rational logic, material logic. So they didn't want to accept him. And God said, what's the matter with you? That you don't accept the man that I've made with two. I made you with one. Now I make him with a two. Two. He's a bigger. He's taller than you now. He's better than you. He's more wiser. He's going to be more wiser than you, more informed than you. How come you don't submit to him? So you see, the angels didn't have as much sense, did they? They didn't have the potential for as much sense as the human being got. So he said, get you down from here. This is no place for you. That was a moral realm. They were up in the realm of purity. And he had let himself image make him arrogant. So that broke the morals of the higher kingdom, didn't it? He broke the moral nature and the moral law of the higher kingdom. And he was cast down into the earth to grow up again. Now, you know, the scripture has many ways of saying things. The Bible, and Jesus is reported, according to the Bible, that when Nicodemus wanted to be one of Jesus' disciples, Jesus told him, "Say, you have to be born again." And Nicodemus said, "Well, how can I go back into my own mother?" And Jesus said, "Nevertheless, you have to be born again." Now, Allah says, وَأَنزَلْنَا مَعْهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْمِيزَانَ لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ. And surely, Allah sent its messengers with revelation, clear signs, clear evidence, clear signs, and sent with them, with his messengers, the book that is the revealed scripture, and also the mizan, that is the laws of justice, the balance, the universal principles of justice, that humanity should stand up for justice. That humanity should stand up for justice. So we see here that is the purpose of God, among the purposes that God has created us for, or in the purpose he has created us for, is justice.
As-salamu alaykum, Nasir Hidayat, Muslim 360, inshallah. That is the end of the broadcast. Not the total speech or talk, but it's very much everything for you up to date. We get it, what is the Deen Muhammad, the Rabb of all the world. Inshallah, it's now time for clear concepts here on American Muslim 360. Imam Yahya should be up there very shortly here. We hope that you've enjoyed the broadcast to this point. We do have another show
episode coming up very shortly here on American Muslim 360. I want to remind you again that Juma is tomorrow on American Muslim 360 from California, Sacramento, California. Masjid Ibrahim and Imam Luqman Ahmed will be delivering the Qutbah tomorrow. That is 1:30 Pacific Standard Time, 2:30 in the mountains, 3:30 on the Central Time, 4:30 on the West Coast, on the East Coast, excuse me, 4:30 on the East Coast. So Juma is here on American Muslim. Inshallah, we'll be right back. And, we'll have enough. It just popped up. We'll be right back.
Look inside. Look inside a copy of Aziza. Inspire yourself with stories of amazing women. Inform yourself about pressing issues in our community. Look inside a copy of Aziza. Illuminate your mind with revealing articles. Ignite your senses with colorful art and pictures. Include yourself in the powerful conversation. Look inside a copy of Aziza. Subscribe today at www.azizamagazine.com.
Do you remember Mujaddid Water Through Deen Muhammad? Mas Cares. Believers wishing to support his mission of propagation and community assistance are asked to send their contributions made payable to Mas Cares, Ministry of W. Deen Muhammad, P.O. Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. P.O. Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. Don't forget, Mujaddid Water Through Deen Muhammad and Mosque Cares. They appreciate your support, and so do American Muslim 360. Assalamu alaikum.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
American Muslim 360 is... We will never quit. American Muslim 360, your number one Islamic Muslim radio station.
You can't touch this.
Assalamu alaikum. Again, we're here on American Muslim 360. And I'm Yahya Abdullah, your host of Sheikh Khan. Assalamu alaikum, my brother.
Alaikum assalam. How are you? Belated Eid Mubarak to you.
Yes, alhamdulillah. I'm doing quite well. Yourself and everybody up there on the Dallas DeSoto area.
Oh, fine. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. I'm ready when you're ready.
I'm ready. Let's go.
Let's go.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. With God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Assalamu alaikum to all of our listeners here on American Muslim 360. Welcome to another segment of Clear Concepts. I am your host, Imam Yahya Abdullah, coming to you live from Dallas, Texas, USA. To all of the Muslims who are there listening, who just completed our fast month of Ramadan and had a beautiful Eid khutbah, we say to all of you, a belated Eid Mubarak. That means may God bless you with the beautiful Eid, and I'm sure he did bless you with the beautiful Eid. And tonight we're sharing with our audience a lecture that I gave for this past Eid al-Fitr khutbah. And I pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you enjoy it. But before we do that, as always, we like to begin our program by reading from the Quran. As our executive producer, Thomas Abdus Salam, has declared this year, 2012, the year of the Quran. And those of you who have followed us for almost 2 years now, you know that here at Clear Concepts, we always begin our program with reading from Quran. So tonight we will read from chapter 18 of the Quran, the first three verses. And chapter 18 is titled Suratul Kaf, or the Cave. So revealed in Mecca, Kaf or the Cave. And I recommend that you read it all, and I'm sure you read it during your fast month, the fast month of Ramadan. Beautiful, very powerful symbolic, metaphorical message in this chapter of the cave. In fact, the title itself is a nice metaphorical symbol for what goes on inside the mind of man. So we begin reading Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, verse 1. Alhamdulillahilladhi anzala ala abdihi al-kitaba ولم يجعل له عوجا. Verse 2. قياما لينذر بأسا شديدا من لدنه ويبشر المؤمنين الذين يعملون الصالحات أن لهم أجرا حسنا. And verse 3. ماكثين فيه أبدا. صدق الله العظيم.
In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. Praise be to Allah who has sent to his servant the book and has allowed therein no crookedness, straight, in order that he may warn of a terrible punishment from him, and that he may give glad tidings to the believers who work righteous deeds, that they shall have a goodly reward, wherein they shall remain forever. Surely Allah has spoken the truth.
Thank you very much, Thomas. And we will move directly into the presentation. And if you like it and you enjoy it, you can, and like to have a copy of it, you can call me at 469-245-4586. And we'll give this number out at the end of the program, 469-245-4586, or email me at yabdullah10@gmail.com. That's yabdullah10@gmail.com. Enjoy Eid Khutbah from Eid al-Fitr this past Sunday.
Okay, so now we line up for the prayer. And after Imam Hatim concludes this salat, everybody we know sit down for the Eid Khutbah.
فجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى نار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى. الله أكبر. بسم الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قال وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولسوف يأتك ربك فترضى ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنهر وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
الحمد لله. الله أكبر.
Eid also implies that this is a happy occasion. I'm reading now from Imam Muhammad's notes. This is a day for rejoicing. It is a day for happiness. It is not a day for sadness. Leave all your problems outside. They'll be there when you walk out the door. Hey, most of them will be right there waiting when you walk out the door. But for right now, just say, I don't know. Problems stay away right now. Yeah. No problems. We're here for happiness and here for joy and here to celebrate with all our wonderful, beautiful brothers and sisters that chose to come together with us today. And look, we're growing. Yeah, we're growing pretty soon. We are going to be able to be in this place. We're growing. And had we been able to get our facility today, we'll have it tomorrow for the celebration. We would have had the prayer up at the DeSoto Civic Center. But that's all right. We're here today. And I want to acknowledge Imam Talib Salahuddin from Fort Worth. I saw him earlier. Oh, there he is right there, my good friend. Yeah, I saw him earlier. And we thank you, Brother Imam, and the believers from the Fort Worth community for joining with us today. And those of you all who are from other masjids, mosque or masajid in the area, and you chose to be with us today, we say welcome. Welcome, and we thank God for you, and we thank God for your presence. Eid al-Fitr celebrates, Imam Muhammad says, the victory of human nature. The victory of human nature. We have another Eid that comes in about 2 or 3 months, Eid al-Adha, and it celebrates the victory of the intellect. But today, we want to talk about the Eid that celebrates the victory of the human nature. And I begin with a reading from the Quran, chapter 30, verse 23. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With God's name, the merciful, benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Wa min ayatihi manamukum bilayli wa nahari wa tighaukum min fadlihi. Inna fi dhalika la'ayatin liqaumin yasma'un. Sadaq al-Azim, God the Mighty spoke the truth. Translating, and among his signs, Allah says, and among his signs is the sleep that you take by night and by day, and the quest, the effort that you exert, the searching, and the quest and the searching that you make for God's bounty, for your livelihood, you make for livelihood, min fadlihi, out of the grace of God. Inna fi dhalika la'ayatan liqaumin yasma'un. Surely in these things, or in that, are ayats for those who are paying attention and those who listen. Now, what is the relevance of this for the Eid day? You say, how are you talking about sleep during the Eid day? We're awake, man. I hope you're awake. And during Ramadan, during those 29 or 30 days of Ramadan, our prayers kept us from sleeping. Listen carefully. Standing up for the Taraweeh Salat kept us from our normal sleep. Hence the saying of Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that during the month of Ramadan, our sleep is worship. Our sleep is worship. And God says you sleep by night and you sleep by day. Now, who are those that are sleeping in the daytime? Those sleeping in the daytime are asleep when the light of truth and knowledge comes on, and it's daytime for them, but they are sleeping though the light is on. They are asleep. God says in these things are signs. But the Quran kept us awake from sleep. Reciting the Quran during the Taraweeh Salat kept us from sleeping at night. So if you remember that lesson and keep reading the Quran and remember the lesson of the Taraweeh prayer and remember the lesson of reciting the Quran, it will keep you from sleeping by day and by night. You won't go to sleep to opportunities. You won't go to sleep to your potential. You won't go to sleep to all the great blessings. that God has for us out here in this world. There's many opportunities, God says, and he has given you the day for your livelihood, but you sleep. You're sleeping in the day. You're sleeping at a time when great opportunity is around. You sleep. But the Quran kept us from sleeping. Father, we pray has kept us from sleeping. And it should keep us awake even though the month has passed. And there are many people sleep, walking down the street with their eyes open, but sleep. Walking around in the cities with their eyes open, but sleep. And we don't want to sleep. And God says, be aware of the affairs of the sleepers. As-salatu khayrum min an-nawm. As-salatu khayrum min an-nawm. You got to be real, Tyler. Yes. That is what we say only for one prayer, the Fajr prayer in the morning. And we start our day off by saying, in the Adhan, that's the only place you put it in the Adhan in the morning, where that darkness is, and it starts the day. As-salatu khayrum min an-nawm. And the salat is better than sleep. And we say it twice. As-salatu khayrum min an-nawm. And the worship and the prayer, because salat for us is worship. And our salat is not just prayer, as Imam Muhammad said, it is an education. So when you understand the power behind those words, that our salat is better than sleeping, it is saying to us that the education that we get for our minds and the spirit that we get in our hearts and our souls when we are praying and reciting the Quran, that is better than any sleep that we could get, and it is much better for us than those who are asleep in this world. Our worship is better than those who have conditions in their life and conditions in their mind that make them sleep. Hence the saying of God in the Quran, chapter 18, or the chapter titled the Kaid class, verse 18. وَتَعْسِبُهُمْ أَيْقَاظًا وَهُمْ رُقُودٌ. Thou would have deemed them awake. Deem who? The people in society look like they're awake. So God says, you would consider them like they are awake. What to sever whom? I call them what home rukudu. They are not asleep. They are not awake. They are asleep. But look what God says in the next verse. I'm not reading all of 18. I only wanted the top part. Look what Allah says in the next verse, 19. وَكَذَلِكَ out of his mercy and what he has done for us. Because we thought we were awake too. Oh yeah, we thought we knew something. When we were in the church, we thought we were awake. Oh yeah, we thought we knew something. When we were in the Nation of Islam, we thought we were awake. God says you would have deemed them awake, but they were really asleep. And Imam W.D. Muhammad had to wake us up. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad woke us up. We thought we were awake in the church. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad brought that message, and it woke us up. We were, we were asleep. And we thought we were awake. And then when Imam W.D. Muhammad came to start teaching the Quran and the life of Muhammad the Prophet, we thought we were awake. But we were asleep. And mysticism and black superiority and nationalism and race pride. We were asleep, but we thought we were awake. And God blessed us with the Quran and the life of Muhammad the Prophet and the special and unique insights of Imam W.D. Muhammad. And now we are awake. Allahu Akbar. So God says, وَكَذَلِكَ بَأَثْنَاهُمْ لِتَسَاءَلُونَ بَيْنَهُمْ قَالَ قَائِلٌ مِّنْهُمْ كَمْ لَبِثْتُمْ قَالُوا لَبِثْنَا يَوْمًا أَوْ بَعْدَ يَوْمٍ قَالُوا رَبُّكُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا لَبِثْتُمْ فَابْعَثُوا أَحَدَكُمْ بِوَارِقِكُمْ هَذِهِ إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ فَلْيَنْظُرْ أَيُّهَا أَزْكَى طَعَامًا فليأتكم برزق منه وليتلطف ولا يشعرن بكم أحد. So Allah says, such being their state, that they deemed themselves awake while they were asleep, such being their situation and their state, we decided to raise them up from their sleep, that they might question one another. Said one of them to the other, how long have we stayed here? How long? Not long. How long have we been asleep? More than 400 years. They said, we have stayed perhaps a day, a part of a day. At length, they all said, wait a minute. God alone knows best how long we've been asleep. Well, the scriptures, the Bible, and Quran says, your day is like 1,000 years to God. God knows best how long we have been asleep as a people. But one thing we sure know, we have been asleep for at least 400 years. A lot of days in those 400 years. So they all said, God alone knows best how long we have stayed asleep in this condition and in this state. Now Allah revealed to Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to help them come out of their sleep, to help them realize the opportunity, to help them take advantage of the potentials in this world when they wake up. Look what Allah says here. Now send you then one of you with this money of yours that you have as a group. This is in the Quran. Say, take this diwarikum. Watercoon is paper, not the corn. You put some watercoon up there on that zakat box today. You put some paper up there today. Right here in the book, God says, tell them sleepers, now that I have awakened you, now that you're awake, go into town with your paper money and spend that money. Go into town. Send them with the money that they have. Hadhi ila al-Madina Dallas. I put Dallas in there. It's not in there. Hadhi ila al-Fort Worth. Hadhi ila al-Dakota. Hadhi ila al-Chicago. Hadhi ila Los Angeles, California. Hadhi Jacksonville, Florida, in Atlanta, Georgia, and wherever you are. Take this paper money that you have, that God has blessed you with, that you were asleep with, and didn't know the power of it, didn't know the strength in it, didn't know the potential it had to raise you up as a people because you thought you were awake, but you were asleep. And God changed your sleep and awakened you. And now that you're awake, now that you're conscious and you're Muslim, and you know, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. You know that now. You know the Quran is the pure, true word of God. You know that Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the prophet for all mankind. You know that now. You know how to fast during Ramadan. You know the benefits of that. You know the benefits of prayer. You awake now. You know how to pray 5 times a day. You know the benefits of Hajj. You know the benefits of coming together as an Ummah and Jummah. You know that now. You didn't know before. You thought you knew, but now you know. So now that you know, take all these numbers with all that paper in your pocket and go into your city and your town and establish yourself. Words of God from the Quran. And let them find. God says, the Yandurai Ayuha as. You hear Zakat? Askar. And let them find. Askar. So I'm in. Tell them go with that paper that they have and find the best kind of food they can eat. But remember, I told you, watercolor is paper. Alright, I referenced the money. But take this paper. Take this paper. Ask her to Allah and get the best food. That cat that will go that will improve you, that will progress you, that will purify you, that will help you make moves and progress greater than your potential that you even know you have the ability. Take what you have of this paper, ask God to earn this, and take the best food from it. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd, and we thank God for Imam W.D. Muhammad. Take it to the towns, find out which best food that we have, and bring some to you. Bring some. Get that benefit from that money. And satisfy your hunger therewith, God says. So take the paper, Quran, satisfy your hunger. Take that money you got to the town, satisfy your economic hunger. And then be careful. Let them and let them behave with care and courtesy. Latif. Don't harm each other. Be easygoing with each other. Be gentle with each other. Take care of that brother's feelings and that sister's feelings. Be courteous towards each other. Be loving and kind and gentle towards each other. These are the words of God from the Quran. And let him, or let them, وَلَا يُشْكِعَنَّ بِكُمْ أَحَدًا, and let him not inform anyone about your strategy. Don't go about in the town telling everything that you plan on doing. Keep your mouth shut on something. Muhammad the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, war is strategy. And strategy is not letting your enemies know what your movements are. So hence the verse 19, God says, for if they should come upon you, this is a caution. Don't let them know everything you're doing. For if they come upon you or among you, they would stone you or force you. Hear these. يؤيدكم في ملتهم if you tell them where you're going in the town and in the city and what your plans are in detail, they will come against you. This is what Allah said. And they will stone you. Don't look for physical stones. The word here, yarujumukum, means they're going to throw the stones of propaganda at you. They're going to talk about your religion. They're going to talk about your lifestyle. They're going to talk about your head wrap sisters. They're going to talk about your kufi brothers. They're going to try to put down Muhammad the Prophet, put down the Quran, put down Islam. They're going to try to say that Muhammad the Prophet killed infidels. Well, yeah, he did when they attacked him. Yeah, he did. Yeah, we're going to kill some too if they attack us. God forbid. But the Quran says they want to force you. And they want to throw stones. And they forgot their own scriptures. Their own scriptures, Christ Jesus says, let he without sin cast the first stone. You want to talk about the Quran? Huh? You want us to start peeking through the Bible? You want to talk about Muhammad the Prophet? You want us to start peeking through your presentations of the Prophet in the Bible? That's what you want us to do? Huh? You want us to talk about how you portray Noah as a drunkard? Is that what you want us to do? Because we know you have that story in your book, if not in our book. Is that what you want when you start throwing stones at us? You want us to start throwing them back at you? Your own scriptures say, Lord, without sin, cast the first stone. Now, you got a whole bunch of sins. You don't need to be throwing stones at Muslims. You want us to start talking about how you're passing laws when you almost said that it's an abomination. You almost said stone the homosexual. And you want us to go and grab that verse and throw that stone back in your face because you pick it on us? You should outlaw stones. Pass a law to ban stones. Philosophical stone. And leave the Muslims alone. Leave Muhammad the prophet alone. You call him a pedophile? Your priests are the ones that's on TV being locked up and messing with little boys. You want us to start throwing that stone? We won't say nothing if you don't mess with us, but if you attack us, we throw him back. But the answer God says, when they act like that, all you eat, this is Eve. All you eat, the confidentiality. They want you to return back to the way you were before. And if you did that, God says, if you went back to sleeping now that you're awake, God says, that's strong. You would never be successful and you will never prosper if you go back to the days when you were asleep. Don't follow that millet. Don't return back to that. Even sister, come back to your original nature. Don't go back to that life that you came from. Don't go back to those practices that you had before. God has brought you away from that and brought you back. Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد أيها المسلمون الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله الله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد. In the Quran, إِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ, chapter 38, verse 71-72, إِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي خَالِقٌ بَشَرًا مِنْ طِينٍ فَإِذَا سَوَّيْتُهُ وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ. صدق الله العظيم. God the Mighty is spoken to. Behold, our Lord said to the angels, I'm about to create a human being from clay, pliable material that I could work with. And we were clay for the past 29 days. We were clay. We submitted our nature to be shaped by the Quran. We submitted our spirit to be shaped by the Word of God. We submitted our body to go through those long prayers. How do we press? We submitted ourselves so we in effect were like clay. And God says, when I have fashioned him, when I have created him, and this fashioning is not the physical form now. This is the shape inside the body. And I have breathed into him of my spirit. Hear it too, sisters. This is not male thing now. This ain't no male thing. This is a soul thing. That's inside. When I have shaped you, we've been shaped for these past 29 days by the Quran. We've been fashioned by the Quran. And God says, وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي. And then I breathe into you of my spirit. Once you get that spirit, fall down. Who is he talking to? He's talking to that attitude in you that was fighting you to hold other level marks. Don't see this as somebody outside of you, some Iblis somewhere. You're walking around with Iblis in you. And that Iblis don't want to submit. So God God says, well, I shake you. So when he said, who? Well, nafas tu. And give you my ruhi, my spirit. Then tell that shaitan, tell that iblis, bow down and submit to that new spirit inside this physical body. Yeah, bow down and submit to Adam. Then God said to the angel, now submit to Adam. Adam who? You look at Adam, you are Adam. And who's supposed to submit? That part of you that's rebellious. That part of you that's disobedient. And Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as I wind this down, I have to give you something directly from your man Muhammad. He said, everyone possess a jinn. And they ask him, even you, O messenger of God? He said, yes, I have a jinn. But the difference between me and you are, God has blessed me to make my jinn a Muslim. Now, you're still a jinn. You're still like Iblis. You got to work on that jinn and make that jinn become a Muslim. But how are you going to do it? God says he has to do it. God does it. So he gives us his mercy. Ramadan, Salah, fasting, Hajj, Zakat, all of these practices, Jummah that we have, Sadaqah, Amina Soleha, good work. So we're working on that nature, working to bring that nature back, even fitter, back to the original constitution that we had when that jinn and that iblis was bowing to the human being, the human soul inside the body that God wanted. Here's the saying of Imam W.D. Muhammad. He says, scripture says, the spirit moves along the surface of the water. And God says, let there be life. God is saying that if you will only become sensitive to my cause and my purpose, my spirit will move with your sensitivities. The Quran says it was shot, boom, like two arrows from one bow going to the top. The will of God and the spirit in Muhammad. Both when it's two arrows fired from the same bow, it means the natural power and potential that God gave man in creating him. So way to who? And creating him, and that bow has now, and bow, B-O-W, can also be said bow. That bow has now become very tense. It's strained to reach God's purpose. It fires, and when it fires at the thing it is aimed at, it sends two. One is God's purpose, La ilaha illallah, and God's will. The other is Muhammad, Muhammad and Rasulullah. Muhammad's prayers and peace and blessing be upon him, his will and his obedience to God's purpose, they go parallel at the same speed to the same target. And the spirit, it moves along the face of the water. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And then he placed a small lamp in the sky. A small lamp in the sky. Small lamp in the sky. This is speaking, Imam Muhammad says, to the evolution of light, of knowledge. He placed something up there to reflect the light of the sun. The sun had not been placed up there yet, but he put something in the heavens of the leadership to reflect the light before it even was done. It was already there, ready to receive it. The moon was put up, but it didn't say the moon was shining. It did not say the moon was put up and it was a beautiful, shiny, illuminated object. No, no. It was just put up there. It says, and then he caused the sun to be put there. This is Bible and Quran. It came up in the heavens, and God said, now let there be light. But look how the light evolved, Imam Muhammad says. Light evolved. Now, right here. Light evolved from the sensitivity in the soul or the spirituality. That is what is needed to welcome God's light. I repeat that. evolve from the sensitivity in the soul. If there's no sensitivity to the word of God in the soul, you won't receive the light. You would have read your Josiah, your 30th every day, your 33rd. You read it. But if your soul wasn't sensitive to receiving it, you just read some words. The light didn't come in and touch you. Hence the saying in the Quran, and none shall touch it. It's not talking about this. It's not talking about touching the physical book. It's talking about touching its wisdom. Touching its spirit. Touching its love. None will touch that except the ones with a pure heart and a pure soul. And once you have the right sensitivities, once the soul is in the right condition, and the right spirit is there, when the word of God hits you, it can be one verse. As God says, just a little rain is enough to suffice for the believer. But for those without the right sensitivity to a heavy downpour like we had yesterday, it won't do nothing to change them. They can read it from outside their heart, and a heavy downpour can hit on them. And they come out of there with the same old nasty attitude and mean spirit they had when they went in. And you say, sister, didn't you fast Ramadan? Why are you still acting crazy? Brother, didn't you go through 29 days of fast? You were acting like the N-word before the month started, and you're acting like the N-word when the month is over. You didn't touch it. You picked it up with your hand, but your mind never touched it and your soul never touched it. So you went in the inward and you came out the inward. Ain't nothing changed. Mind's still the same. Still talking about people. Still stabbing people in the back. You were doing that before Ramadan started. Gossiping and talking about this sister, that sister, this brother, that brother, all up in people's business, all in their family life, all going, what he doing, his wife, what she doing, what she doing, let's see her. Now you did all this before Ramadan. Violating every principle of Islam. Don't let that jinn ride you after Ramadan. And then you brag, I read all my Josiah. But we have the same old in attitude. So we have to question whether he trusted or not. Woo, buddy. I'm all done, y'all all right? This is Eid day. I figure you didn't come here for a light meal. You came here for a heavy meal. You've been fasting for 29 days. Now it's time to eat. And I ain't talking about physical food either. Look how the light evolved, Imam Muhammad says, from the sensitivity in the soul or the spirituality. That is what welcomes God's light. God loves what he saw happening in the water of your human sensitivity. So he blesses it with his guidance or with his inspiration. And in the water came the light. Science says the moonlit is black. Look in your face if you want some evidence of that, your newspaper. It's black. It hasn't shown any light yet, the moon. Shouldn't that make you know now? You who are sane, Imam Muhammad says, rational and sensible and morally responsive, shouldn't that make you know now that God has taken a little Negro from Elijah Muhammad and lifted him up to the highest places in the understanding of truth? I said that the condition has to be brought about for the spirituality before the sun, the knowledge can rise. Allah said that he has made the day for your activities. So as long as we are just having spiritual life without guidance, a material reality or for a material world, we have no activity. As long as all we have is nothing but a spiritual life without guidance and we have no materiality to reflect our spiritual understanding, we Don't you deem yourself awake, you're still asleep. The fact that you awake and not a sleeper, you have some material progress. And if not what you want, at least you're making strides to get there. God said, I made the day for your livelihood. Now if you're truly awakened in the day, get out there and get in front to heat some of my graces. And stop thinking you're awake in your sleep. And those that don't even have you, God is more awake than you. According now, as I conclude, Imam Muhammad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to us how we evolve as creation. He is saying to us that the benefits of my material world, God is saying my material world, listen carefully, will only come to you in scant, small amounts. But if you are ever turned on by my guidance, if you are ever turned on by this, my guidance, to evolve as I designed for you to evolve, you will come, there's no doubt, you will come in time to big material accomplishments once you get turned on to this. Hence the Muslims under Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were small people, small traders, small vendors, small merchants. But when the Quran came to them, woo, they became big. They saw that the Hijaz, Arabia, was too small for them. They saw that Syria, the trade route, was too small for them. They saw that going back and forth from Mecca to Yathrib was too small for them. They said, this is too small. We got a big message now. We want to go global. Let us head over to Europe. Let us go to China. Let us go to Indonesia and Pakistan and India, and let us take this religion with us. But while we're doing it, we're going to look for some silk. We're going to look for gold. We're going to look for spices. We're going to look for oil. We're going to look for tar. We're going to look for recyclables. We're going to look for apparel. We're going to look for everything we can find when we encounter those people around the globe, because Mecca is too small. DeSoto is too small. Dallas is too small. When you get this, the United States is too small. You ain't gonna have nothing but scant material accomplishments if you keep the little small mind. But once this comes into you and you got the right sensitivity and the mind is old, you're like, hey, all this is out here, man. Yes, go on out there and fix you some of that, Allah says. The whole world is open to us now. And the great majority of them in the world are Muslims. And they welcome us, billionaire Muslims, millionaire Muslims. So if you can't find an opportunity in the little small environment you're in, go and find a big place. And I conclude now with a poem about Ramadan from our lead Imam W.D. Muhammad. Ramadan, Ahmed, the best of our soul. Muhammad, down upon his heart came the Quran. Darkness covered every land, near and far. Every woman was missing her man. Ramadan, his light reached up to the sky for the dawn, existing separate, each one away from sister nation, and for greater part, satisfied. Ramadan, the white light began to level upon the black, so that effort and gesture would match, and to have each male rise up with his female at his side. Ramadan, fast through the day, slow down the night as we recite and pray. Even in need our dawn, pray away and bring on our day. Ramadan, we hold fast to have a sacrifice in the 10th month when the fast month is past. Ramadan, woman, as I grow to be old, let's not lose it to the freezing cold. And summer fun, have with me, with you to be strong, like we knew to be in Ramadan. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhabannar. Our Lord, grant us the good in this life, the good in the next, and save us from the punishment of the fires of sins. O Allah, bless the Muslim Ummah, Bless the Muslims all over the world, all over this globe. Oh Allah, we pray for this Ummah. Strengthen the Ummah. Save us for your pleasures. Have mercy on our sick. Relieve us of our troubles. And help our young people. Ameen. E Mubarak. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Wa lillahi alhamd. We praise your brothers and sisters and share with them your love to see them and tell them you love them for Allah's sake. And let us enjoy the Eid day, spend time with your families, your children, and tomorrow we will have a celebration. We're going to have a celebration. Look together. We're going to have a celebration at the DeSoto Civic Center at 9 o'clock tomorrow, 9 to 4 in DeSoto. As-salamu alaykum.
Assalamu alaikum. This is America Muslim 360, inshallah. That was the brother, Sister Imam Yahya back. He can say whatever he wants to say. That was all good.
Yes, assalamu alaikum. I hope that you all enjoyed that khutbah. If you would like to have a copy, as I said at the top of the program, you can reach me at 469-245-4586. Tell me at YABDUAH10. That's Y Abdullah 10. L.com. So much we say Juma Mubarak to all of you. Pray Allah bless you to have a wonderful Juma tomorrow, inshallah. That concludes our program. Join us again next week. Clear Concepts, 8 o'clock Central, 9 Eastern, every day on American Muslim 360. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Again, this is American Muslim 360. And Juma is tomorrow at 1:30 Pacific Standard Time from Sacramento, California. And that's it. Ibrahim, Imam Luthman Ahmed will be delivering the khutbah tomorrow, 1:30 Pacific Standard Time, 2:30 in the mountain, 3:30 in the central, and 4:30 on the East Coast. Juma tomorrow here at American Muslim 360. And inshallah, I'm not going to hang out today. I'm in a coffee shop. We're going to pack it up, move on out, and everybody have a blessed day. See you in the morning. We'll talk about tomorrow morning, last year, administration. In the first hour, we have the Loud Spouse, No Excuse Radio. In the third hour, we have myself back. And inshallah, I'm going to address the question that Sister Debbie put to me, and that is what were some of my insights during the month of Ramadan in the third hour tomorrow morning. So again, everybody, you have a blessed, blessed evening. We always are thankful for you, the listeners, to come and listen to American Muslim 360 and all of the hosts to share everything that makes AM 360 what it is here. Also, remember, we're going to start a new show on Sunday morning. Very relaxed show, all about music, Muslim artists, R&B, jazz, Latin singers, little light talk, going to be no preaching, no khutbahs, there's going to be some light stuff, let your hijab down, rest your kufi, come on Sunday morning, again, that's going to be 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, that is 4 a.m. on the West Coast, 5 a.m. on the Central and the Mountain, 6 a.m. in the Central, and again, 7 a.m. on the East Coast. Just come for a nice, relaxing time. This is the end of our broadcast. I'll give you maybe one quick something while we're trying to pack down, unload, and turn things out. So, inshallah. Well, matter of fact, here's the color I have. I got a little jazz track for you here. Assalamu alaikum.
Be a Muslim every day in all you do and say. Always strive for excellence. judgment day. It's promised, it is true. For sure there'll be a judgment day. It's promised, it's true. For sure there'll be a judgment day.
Okay, that is a good sample of what you're going to get on Sunday morning in the R&B music. A Muslim artist, jazz, Latin. You come, I got it. As we say, we might get a little edgy, but we always will be respectful. Brothers and sisters, I got to bid you a good afternoon, a good evening. Inshallah, you have a blessed day. Assalamu alaikum. May God's peace be with you. I'm out.